ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಪಥಾಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ ವರ್ಷಕ್ಷರಾಯ ತೇ ಸ್ವಗತ ಸದಸೇವ್ಯಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಿಮೋಚಿತೆ ಮದೇಕ ಬಂಧೋ ಮತ್ಸಂಗ್ಯನ್ ಮದ ಕೋರೋರ್ ಮದ್ ಮಹಾಧನ ಮದ್ ನಿಷ್ಠಾರಕ ಮದ ಭಾಗ್ಯ ಮದಾನಂದಾನ ಮೋಚಿತೆ ಅಸಾಧು ಸಾಧು ತಥಾಯನ್ ಅತಿ ನೇತೃತ ಚಾಲಕ ಹಾನ ಮುಂಚಕದಾಚನ ಮಾಂ ಪ್ರೇಮ್ನ ಹೃತ್ಕಂತಯ ಸ್ಫುರ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಾಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಾಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 7 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 5 ವರ್ಸ್ ನಂಬರ್ 17 ದಚೇಯ ಚಂದನ ವಾನೇ ತಥೋಯಂ ಕಂಟಕಾಧುಮಾ ತೈತೇಯ ಚಂದನಾಭಾನೇ ಜಾತೋಯಂ ಕಂಟಕಾಧುಮ ಯನಮೂಲೋನ್ಮೂಲ ಪಾರಸೋ ವಿಷ್ಣು ನಾಲಾಯತೋರ್ಬಕ ದೈತೇಯ ಚಂದನಾಭಾನೆ ಜಾತೋಯಂ ಕಂದಕಾಧುಮ ಯನಮೂಲೋನುಮೂಲ ಪುರಸೋರ್ ವಿಷ್ಣುರ್ನಾಲಾಯತೋರ್ಬಕ ಗಜೇಯ ಚಂದನಾಭಾನೆ ಜಾತೋಯಂ ಕನಕಾಧುಮ ಯನಮೂಲೋನ್ಮೂಲ ಪುರಸೋಳ ವಿಷ್ಣು ನಾಲಾಯುಚೋಪಕ ಗಜೇಯ ಚಂದನಾಭಾನೆ ಜಾತೋಯಂ ಕಂತಕಾಧುಮ ಯನಮೂಲೋನ್ಮೂಲ ಪರಸೋಲ ವಿಷ್ಣುರ್ನಾಲಾಯ ಚೋರ್ಬಕ ದಾಯತೇಯ ಚಂದನಾಭಾನೆ ಜತೋಯಂ ಯನಮೂಲೋನ್ಮೂಲ ಪರಸೋ ಗಜೇಯ ಚಂದನಾಭಾನೆ ಜಾತೋಯಂ ಕಂಟಕಾಧುಮ ಯನಮೂಲೋನ್ಮೂಲ ಪರಸೋ ವಿಷ್ಣು ನಾಲಾಯತೋರ್ಬಕ ಗಜೇಯ ಚಂದನಾಭಾನೆ ಜಾತೋಯಂ ಕಂಟಕಾಧುಮ ಯನಮೂಲೋನ್ಮೂಲ ಪರಸೋ ವಿಷ್ಣು ನಾಲಾಯತೋರ್ಬಕ ತೈತೇಯ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಡಿಮಾನಿಯಕ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ Chandanavane in the sandalwood forest. Jata, born. Ayam, this. Kantaka Dhruma, thorn tree. Yat, of which. Mula, of the roots. Un mula, in the cutting. Parasho, who was like an axe. Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu. Nala Yata, the handle. Arbaka, boy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sandanamarka said, this rascal Prahlad has appeared like a thorn tree and a forest of sandalwood. To cut down sandalwood trees, an axe is needed, and the wood of the thorn tree is very suitable for the handle of such an axe. Lord Vishnu is the axe for cutting down the sandalwood forests of the family of demons. This, Prahlad, is the handle for that axe. Purport. Thorn trees generally grow in deserted places, not in sandalwood forests. But the seminal Brahmanas, Sandanamarka, compared the dynasty of the Daitya, Hiranyakasipu, to a sandalwood forest and compared Prahlad Maharaja to a hard, strong thorn tree that could provide the handle of an axe. They compared Lord Vishnu to the axe itself. An axe alone cannot cut a thorn tree. It needs a handle, which may be made of the wood of the thorn tree. Thus the thorn tree of demonic civilization can be cut to pieces by the acts of Vishnu Bhakti, devotional service to Lord Krishna. Some of the members of the demoniac civilization, like Prahlad Maharaja, may become the handle for the axe to assist Lord Vishnu. Thus the entire forest of demonic civilization can be cut to pieces. End of the purport. Vrindavane Ramanareti Pasiddhabhumo Tatravi Krishna Balarama Supada Mule Jnanam Param Paramai Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandasta Deva Prabhupada Namo Namaste Samasaro Dukkha Jalado Patitasya Kama Krodha Adina Krama Karai Kavali Kritasya Yodavashana Nigaditasya Nirasvayasya Chaitanya Chandramamadehi Padavalambam Teladara Shashivar No Kopade Shikishoro Sahachara Ganavrindai Kridamana Vrajesho Natabara Chattavesho Nila Pitambaradyo Jagadajanana He To Ramakrishno Nato Asmi Vanchakalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Pritanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. It is interesting that educators or anybody in a given situation considers their situation to be the best and other situations to be inferior to that. It's like a mentality. Here they're verbalizing it. They consider their society to be like a sandalwood grove, even though they were not favorable to Krishna consciousness. This means that the Daitya civilization, the demonic civilization that inherited by Hiranyakasipu, was externally quite opulent in material facility. And that's what their father, Chandanamarka's father, Sukracharya, was interested in. He was actually interested in maintaining it. Therefore, he had told Vamanadeva, told Bali Maharaj, the son of Prahlad Maharaj, the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, not to give donations to Vamanadeva, being worried about the opulence and material opulence of the Daityas. So, Prahlad Maharaj was extremely determined to continue his service of glorifying the Srinadeva and devotional service to Krishna, of which Hiranyakasipu and Sandanamarka, etc., considered to be the enemy. Now, anything that is written in Srimad Bhagavatam has to be gone through the previous acharyas. Sometimes Sridhar Swami, the main commentator in Srimad Bhagavatam, when like Shishupala is blaspheming Krishna, very painful for devotees to hear blasphemy of the Supreme Personality. Got it. Like that. But what he does, Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur is also expert in that. They look beyond the external translation of what the person's saying, and they go deep, and they try to understand what Krishna's trying to tell them. In this case, it's double language. Sanskrit can be interpreted in many ways, and sometimes these devotees, in this case, Shishupal was one of the chokidars, the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha, and as such, he was a covered devotee. In that sense, although he is acting in the drama of being a demon, an obstacle, an enemy of Lord Vishnu, in heart they cannot do so. Therefore, they cloaked it with double language, which is very interesting. Just like, for example, Shishupala would address Lord Krishna as Purushadama, the lowest among mankind. But actually, when they look into the grammar of that word, they say, he whom everybody else is lower. This way, whatever, like Shishupala would say, they interpreted the Sanskrit in such a way that it wasn't so bad after all. It was hidden glorification, actually. Although externally saying something very bad. Sometimes sarcasm is used in Sanskrit to get what you want. It's like there's one shloka that I heard in Mayapur from Sanskrit pundits. It is called Viparita Vyangam. Opposite? Sarcasm. And so it says, Yateshtam Bhungshva Dorabodhe, oh, wicked mind, just eat whatever you want. Ma sararam daya karu. Don't be merciful to your body, or no need to be merciful to your body. Paranam Dorabam Loke. In this world, it is very difficult to get the opportunity to eat others' food. Sarirani puna punaha. But bodies, that you'll get, one after another. Don't worry about it. You'll get one body after another. So, why worry? What it is, viparita means opposite, and vyangam means sarcasm. The idea of it is to impel the person to think a little bit more deeper and do exactly the opposite. So, in the same way, although Shandanamarka were employed, sons of Sukracharya were employed as teachers to teach the children. They actually had developed affection for that atmosphere, and they liked it very much. They considered it to be very proper, very dignified. They referred to it as a sandalwood forest, Daiteya Chandanavani, and it is considered to be like a forest of sandalwood trees. And they say, Kantaka Mula, that this Kantaka Dhruma, Jatoyam, has taken birth, a Kantaka Dhruma as a tree that is a thorn tree. Just like in Vrindavan, about thorn trees, they grow wild and they grow everywhere. Actually, the British introduced them to try to repopulate the desert. But literally, they took over everything. In Vrindavan, the Kadamba trees were becoming less and less due to the increasing of global warming. As a result, there was less and less water to maintain the trees. And, of course, the public were cutting down the old trees, cooking, putting them into charcoal, wood, like this. So there's some very, very old Kadamba trees that are very, very are still there, but they're dying off. And the result is that now, even if the new Kadamba trees are being grown, they're very, very small. They're not very thick. It just goes to show you what happens temperature-wise over one generation, two generations, like that. Trees live 100 years, 120 years, like that. Something a little more. Some Kadamba trees are very old. 400, 500 years old. I've seen some that are Kalpavriksha trees, they say. They're 5,000 years old, like that. So sometimes it happens. Very, very old trees. simply, and their roots are so, so deep that they're getting their water somehow or another. The roots are so very deep, bringing water. So they're living, even though it's quite hot and quite difficult. Now, this verse, the second part of this verse, Yanamulon Mula Parasor, it's saying here, Yanamula Parasa, it is just like an axe. Mulon Mula, Unmulata, is to remove or to uproot. For the purpose of uprooting the root, Parasa, you need an axe. It says, Vishnu Nalaya Tarbaka, and Vishnu's agent has become the handle of the axe. Just like the jog, that you prime the pump and then you pump the handle. So it means that you've taken advantage of the situation. The situation of material existence is the pump. You have primed the pump, means by your karma, by your words, or by the activities, you have impelled what is already happening, the pump. The pump is the material nature. Priming the pump means you're taking advantage of the material nature and you're pushing it forward, impelling it forward. And then pump the handle and then get the water out. After you put water in the pump, to bring water from the depths, and then you push in the handle to move it out. So in this case, here Vishnu Nalaya Tarbaka, that for the handle of Lord Vishnu to cut down the trees of the demoniac civilization, Prahlad Maharaj became the agent. Now it mentions by Prabhupada that the kantaka, the thorn tree, is very, very thick wood, very, very powerful wood. If you can make a handle with it for an axe out of that wood, because it's so dense wood, it will continue to work and work and work. There are the trees. Trees like teak. In India, they call it sagwan. And it is so thick and so dense. Sagwan is used for beds. It's used for shoes. Like that. And you can drive as many nails as you want. Wooden shoes means you're putting rubber on it because it goes clack, 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 and it makes too much noise. So they put rubber on it. For rubber, you need nails to sole it, to keep the rubber. Some stupid tire or some any other dopey rubber, putting it underneath your shoe. You need some thin nails, some small nails, to hold the rubber on. And naturally, by walking and walking and walking, the tops of those heads, of those nails, become worn off. So you have to occasionally put more nails in. So you're putting a nail next to the nail. And you put a nail next to the nail, and next to the nail, and next to the nail. But still, the wood does not split. It is so dense. The pores are so less. Such a dense piece of wood that you could put a nail next to a nail and next to another nail, and still the thing will not split. That's the nature of sagwan. It's so dense. And it does not. Vrindavan is very hot in the summer and very cold in the winter. So that usually causes wood to warp, wood to shrink, like this. But not sagwan. Sagwan is too dense. It doesn't allow for much shrinkage. It doesn't allow for much. So it's interesting. Kantaka. Kantaka is generally the thorn trees are basically, no one's watering them, no one's caring for them. They're just there. And their roots are stealing whatever they can steal from the atmosphere. So there is a saying in Hindi about Vrindavan. Bole no to hela. When you're calling somebody, you're going to swear at them. Hey! Or you just call them in curt language. Hey! Hey, you! Come over here. Hey! Bole no to hela. Gali vachan antakari. And at the end of your speech, you have to swear at them. And it says, karila katka. And the kantaka, karila. The thorn tree is cutting your cloth. Kale kupakare. And the wells are all salty. Water sources are all salty. The kaya, we've seen. Sham Sundar, Madhupuri Tumari. We've seen your Mathura. We know what it's like. So, this is the nature of the people, the mass of people, the public. You call somebody, you have to use rude language. And at the end of your speech, you swear at them. The thorn tree is cutting your cloth, and the wells are all salty. Just see, Shamsundar, we've seen your place. We know what it's like. Don't tell us about Mathura. We know what it's like. You know? That's the city. There's another interesting verse about Chandan. Saying it says, Daiteya Chandana Vani. There's an interesting verse in Vrajariti Chantamani, chapter 3, which is basically Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur is the guidebook of Govardhan Hill. You find so many interesting verses there which just could paint pictures in the mind to enthuse the person to go on pilgrimage of Govardhan Hill. So in one funny shloka, really funny, he says, Yatrasi sa, there is Yatrasi sa Chandana Sara Jata. There is a forest of sandalwood trees who have taken birth there. But although sandalwood by its nature is cooling, and snakes are very hot bodied, and they like to go there and live in sandalwood trees in order to cool their body. So you sometimes find in sandalwood trees snakes like it. They curl up in there, they live there on top of the branches. They like that. So Yatrasi sa chandana sara jata. There is a forest of sandalwood trees. Not tatra sarpa, but don't worry, there's no snake there. Sa cha chet. And if there is a snake, if there happens to be a snake, sa cha chet, if there is a snake, visham na, it has no poison. Visham cha chet. And if there is poison by any chance, kapi na duka dung tat, it doesn't cause any problem. holding the happiness of everyone. Haridasa Varya, Giriraj, the best servant of Lord Hari, has made all these arrangements just to hold the happiness of everybody. Very funny. It's like it is a verse of a lot of contradictions. There is a sandalwood grove on Govardhan Hill, but although sandalwood trees attract snakes, no snake goes there. All right, even if there is a snake there, sometimes. There is a snake that goes there. It doesn't have any poison. All right, even if such a snake has poison, suppose it has poison, it doesn't cause any problem. And the servant of Lord Hari over there makes all these reasons for the happiness of everyone. Very interesting. Yet, Admeva Manyate Jagat, first business is to consider that everybody is like me. So, Sandanamarka. It also shows, the shloka shows, the influence of demoniac society was all pervasive. It was the established thing. The kids were all like that. This was an exception. And there was a prestige. There was an opulence going on. There was a legacy. There was a heritage. There was a prestige issue. There was material opulences that the demoniac class of men were living in, so they considered that it was a very good family. Otherwise, how could it be continued from one generation to another? Sometimes people ask us about demoniac people, that they're not devotees, they're meat eaters, they're drunkards first class, they're womanizers, they're cheaters, they are rogues, they're thieves. But the material evidence is going on. If it is bad, how could that be so? We say they're simply burning up the reactions of previous pious activities. But if they're not performing any new pious activities, they're simply going to have to reap the result. Therefore, in the Sanskrit proverb, which Jiva Goswami quotes in the Sandarbhas, very common Sanskrit proverb in Jiva Goswami's day, Prabhupada likes to quote it, Rajaputra Chiranjiva, O son of the king, may you live forever. The idea of it is that he's living a licentious life, a life of material opulence. He's trying to enjoy his senses, so he's not committing as much pious credits as he would should do. He's simply burning off his stock of higher credits from previous life. Therefore, the blessing of the sage is live forever, because better you live forever and continue this opulence. And after you die, it's not going to be very good. Therefore, they bless. Rajaputra Chiranjiva. Then they bless the sage's son, Muniputra Mahajiva. O son of the sage, don't live. Because you're doing austerities in the forest, living austere life, why you should take so much trouble? You leave your body and you don't have to engage in such severe austerities. I had a godbrother who left his body a few years ago in Vrindavan, and he was really a Vidutta. Really. He was like pretty wild. But he had one good quality. He was always talking about Krishna Katha, and he always tried to do it to other people. Gradually, his health went down. So I was trying to improve his health. I brought 6 kilos from South Africa of goji berries. 6 kilos. My luggage is already heavy as it is, and I brought 6 kilos. I remember I checked it in, and for some reason, they didn't bat an eyelash. I had gotten, by Krishna Balarama's arrangement, I got a free business class upgrade from South Africa to Mauritius on that airline. And because it was a business class upgrade, they didn't bother. I had like 40, at the time I had like 43 kilos or something. I was 20 plus 16. I was only 36. So that means I was 7 kilos over. And they didn't bat an eyelash. You know, they just put the tags on it, they just let it run. When I got to Mauritius, I was flying out on my airline. So when I approached them, I told them, this is for somebody dying of cancer in Vrindavan. Can you help me out? He talked with his boss. He said, yeah. And they put the strap on the bag, 7 kilos extra, without batting an eyelash. And I took it back. 7 kilos. When I had 6 kilos of goji berries, and I had given it to them, and he tried them for a little while, but, you know, it didn't work. And his health was going down and down and down, and ultimately the vast majority of it came back to me. We're unable to use it. And so he left his body. And I went to Bombay for Ram Navami at the time. And there's a godbrother there, an old godbrother that's a friend of me, who's from the same city as that Avadutta was born. So he knows him well. So I said, hey, you know, I tried to help this devotee's health, and it wasn't responding. He wasn't responding to my attempts to help his health. And my godbrother told me that he had AIDS. Really? I didn't know that. Where did he get it? Oh, he had some girlfriend before he joined the movement. She gave it to him. He gave it to her. God knows. So he had it. And because of the AIDS, that explains why his immune system was not accepting the treatment and was not helping him no matter what. He had AIDS. So it was very interesting. I didn't know that. Huh? When I was trying to help him out, and I told my god sister in Vrindavan, Daivi Shakti, it's not working. What should I do for him? Leave him alone. Let him go. He'll be happy. Let him die. He'll be happy. We have to stay here and rot for 30 or 40 years. Let him go. He'll be happy, she said. When she said it like that, I gave up. Fine. You know, no problem. Now, he was in a Vidutta, and he left on Varuntini Ekadasi in Vrindavan. When you die in Ekadasi, it means Nisangsaya. Don't have any doubt of his destination. He must have been liberated. There's a verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyakanda, chapter 3, verse 486. When Gauranga is talking to Ishwarapuri about the good fortune of Devananda Pandit, who was serving Vakreshwar Pandit. And it's a very interesting verse. It says there, it says, Siddhar Bhava Divaneti. Will somebody become perfect or not? Asangsayat. We may have a doubt. Atuta Sayyidi Nam. He's trying to serve the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atuta. In the service of the infallible servant of Atuta, will they become perfect in that? We may have a doubt. You know, if you don't see somebody, if you don't live with somebody, then how do you know what they're chanting, what they're reading, what their sadhana is like? Who knows? You don't live with them, so you don't know. Your guess is as good as mine, you know? Like that. Gauranga continues in the other pada. There's sansayat, but don't have a doubt. Stutada bhakta, for that devotee. Parichaya ratatmanam, who has developed the service attitude. Parichaya rati. If you have dedicated yourself to serve devotees, then don't have a doubt. Don't have a doubt. The best servant, of course, is the eternal ones, like Tulsi Rani, for example. Rupa Goswami, Shiva says in the sixth canto, of all types of worship, tells Parvati, worship of Vishnu is considered to be the supreme amongst worshipable personalities. Better than that is to worship that in relation to the supreme. Tadhyanam samarchanam. Tadhyanam samarchanam. It is just equal to serve the supreme. Samarchanam. Then Rupa Goswami clarifies it further in Bhakti Rasamrita. It says, Atha, therefore, tadhyanam sevanam tulasya. We're going to discuss that which is in relation to Lord Vishnu, such as Tulsi. There's nobody higher than her in that sense. So many people that we know in this world, we're conditioned souls, we're coming from a conditional background like that. Occasionally, some souls like Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed to Gauranga to send somebody of his personal staff. That was his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Our Gurudev, his disciple, was considered by many of his godbrothers to be empowered, Shaktivej. So some of these people are considered to be, they have descended to pick us up. Generally speaking, most people are not like that. The servants of the Paramahansas are generally sadhan siddhas, siddhas that have actually worked real hard to purify their bhajan, to become perfect. So they're called sadhan siddhas. Or some guys, some people, just by rendering service to great souls, they just got some special mercy, and they became kripa siddhas. Once you become siddha, that's the end of the story. It means, Sanatan Pad describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, that after you give up this body of doing devotional service, you take birth on the planet where Krishna is performing his pastimes in some universe once in a day of Brahma, some corner of some material universe. And Krishna's eternal associates appear with the Lord, and they'll take you and such a devotee, they'll take that devotee, and who has taken birth in that atmosphere, they'll train them up how to serve Krishna in the eternal way. Then, after that pastime is wound up by Sri Krishna in that particular universe, such devotees go back with the eternal devotees to the spiritual world at that time. So, at that time, although they might have been whatever they were sadhan siddhas, sadhana iti sadhana, their service, their practices is their wealth. Those that made their wealth deeper and deeper devotional practices, who became perfect by that, got the mercy of the Lord's associates who call them, who embrace them, who keep them. Then such persons are promoted. Once you're promoted, then the division disappears. There's sadhan siddha, there's kripa siddha, and then there's nitya siddha. Once you're siddha, you're siddha. The designation, the walls fall, and they're considered liberated at that stage. There's no distinction then at that stage. But it takes some time. Of course, in terms of eternal time, such a thing is not much. Not much. So, Prabhupada is referring to the thorn tree of demonic civilization that can be cut to pieces by the acts of Vishnu Bhakti, devotional service to Lord Krishna. Demonic civilization. Basically, we are living, we are working, breathing, and associating with people. And although we sometimes try to see their good qualities, because a Vaishnava is supposed to be adosha darshi, that we don't see the faults. We're supposed to not see the faults. But if somebody's not a servant of Krishna, harav avbhaktasya katha mahadguna, if somebody is not a devotee, they can only have very small levels of good qualities. Why? The Sanskrit continues, manonatena azato dhavato bai. They're on the chariot of the mind, and they're sure to be defeated. Therefore, we notice that Krishna says in Gita that if there's any difficult situation in this material world, because material world means dura gacchati, very difficult to go, difficult to travel, difficult to cross, it means trouble. And you've got trouble, and there's force multipliers of that trouble too, like inauspicious times. You've got grahas, like malefic grahas, planets like Shani, Saturn, and these are the regulators. They kick everybody's can. Whether you're a devotee or not, when you're under their period, you get bewildered. It's tough. So Shani is heavy. He has a stotra that he worships in the Sringadeva way with beautiful poetry. And in that sloka 7 of that Narasimha, Shanishchara Narasimha, Stuti, prayers, he states that if you worship Lord in Sringadeva, Bhuta Jvara Graha Samudra Baba Bhiti Nasham, that Bhutas, other living entities, ghosts, other living entities, Bhutas means other living entities, Bhutas means ghosts, Jvara, fevers, Graha, malefic planets, Samudra Baba, obstacles, Bhiti Nasham, the fear of that becomes destroyed. Shanishchara, the guy who regulates everybody, who kicks, disciplines everybody, kicks their can, everybody. He's saying, this is the solution. So it's pretty interesting. It mentions in the beginning, Aranya Gatikanam, that he was the Shani's words were just like those who live in the forest, Gatikanam, the goal of those who live in the forest. So, those who live in the forest are not very opulent people, really. It means they have to have some sense of renunciation. Even if they're married, living in the forest, the munis, the sages with their wives used to live in the forest, some other renunciates. It means you've got to live a very austere life. It's not very comfortable out there. Aranya Gatiganam, what would be the goal? How would his be the goal of those in the forest? So I asked one of the devotees who translated it, would it mean that Shani, the Saturn planet, gives obstacles? And although you're suffering now, and it's a period of bewilderment and disturbance for you, in retrospect, a few years down the line, you're going to say that it was good for me. It was good for me. I needed the kick in the pants at the time. Now, when somebody has suffering, you don't think of it that way. Now, you're just trying to get out of the suffering. But later on, a couple of years now, what was it? It was a defining event of your life. You see how you use different words to describe it. One person said, when I do it, that's called innovation. When you do it, you're going beyond the bounds of your jurisdiction. It's the same kind of thing. It's really funny. So in the same way, although we have bad experience of what suffering is, and you may swear at it, you may call it many horrible names privately, ultimately you say, well, I must deserve it. It's happening to me. I have to deserve it. As a joke is, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade and give it to Krishna. Try to see how you can offer your situation. There's nothing in the material world that's ever proper. There's always some mess. And some places are more messed up than others, really. And you're stuck. Sometimes by your karma, you're stuck in that situation. Why? For purification. That's all. And Krishna must have some plan for purification. That's the idea. Now, to go look and to look deep into it, to see, why has this happened to me? Why is Krishna not a blade of grass moves without Krishna? So Krishna must have some plan. Vishnujana Swami used to quote another name of Krishna, which is called Adhokshaja. Inconceivable. Another rough translation of the word Adhokshaja is the Lord of the inconceivable way. You cannot figure how he's going to do something. He's so smart. He's so cunning. With one stroke, he can accomplish many, many interesting things. With one stroke. Therefore, it's called Adhokshaja, the Lord of the inconceivable way. Difficult to understand it. Now, Bhishmadev, in the first canto, chapter 9, he says to Yudhishthira about the Pandava suffering in the forest. He says, it is not possible to understand the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Great sages and saintly persons inquire exhaustively, but they are bewildered. In the next slogan, he says, Daivatam, from I consider all this suffering that you boys had in the forest, etc., to simply to be Daivatantram, the activity of the time factor, the Supreme Personality of God in the form of time factor for purification. It is also known in English as the fire of ordeal. It burns up. The fire of ordeal burns up the doubt. It burns up the obstacle by getting on with it. By getting on with it and remembering Krishna. You remember Krishna and get on with it. So much so that even though there were some obstacles, Kunti Rani, in the first canto, chapter 8, she said, just go ahead and let that problems come again and again. No manager ever asked for problems. Do you ever go and ask, go down to the pharmacy and ask, can I have some cold or flu? Or something. You want medicine, destroy that. You're not going to ask, I need a flu. I need a kick in the ass. You know, I think I need a flu. I think I need a cold. You know, like that. I think I need a bug. You know, like this. Nobody asks for these things. Yet, Prahlad Maharaj says that just like you don't ask for misery, it comes. In the same way, your happiness will also come. You get it anyway. So, we don't ask for it, but it comes sometimes. Why? Because we deserve it. Well, what to do? Rise up and go beyond it. That's the point. And in order to help us out, specifically when you're going through heavy periods, Rahu Kal, Ketu Kal, Shani Kal, these are heavy sub-periods. ABC to GBC. You get in that period, your service is going to be definitely disturbed. At the very minimum. Rahu is the planet that gives trouble. He's got a couple of good qualities too. Influences on people's lives. Shani is the regulatrix. He's a regulator. He kicks everybody's can. He's a disciplinary man. Ketu is the body of Rahu when it was cut off, when Mohini Murti cut off the head of Rahu, his body was Ketu. It became rejuvenated. It basically means headless, it means directionless, it means you don't know where you're going. As I was in Ukraine once, I was going from one preaching center to another, and somebody sent me the Hasidic joke the day before. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. We were laughing. We got stuck. That day, we decided to go through the little villages instead of going through the main drag. That's the last time we're going to do that. And in the villages, Everybody left the villages to go back to the urban centers to get work, and all you've got is old ladies, grandmothers, and grandfathers, and they're all drunk, out of their brain, literally. Any guy that you find staggering on the street, you know, is mostly drunk in the little tiny villages. And you ask him, hey, is this the right road to get to XYZ or whatever like this? Just go straight. The guy will go here, or the guy will point over there, and he doesn't know where he's pointing, you know. He doesn't know. And when that happened to me, I was laughing and laughing and remembering this joke again and again. You don't know where you're going. Any road will get you there. So it was very clear. So, naturally, when you have difficulties, you have to remember Krishna. Just like another statement of Vimbilva Mangala Thakur, my godbrother Mukunda Dutta, the pundit who was working on it, in the good old days when he was working hard on the book, I was complaining to him recently that he used to throw me so many interesting slogans from Vimbilva Mangala, and now I don't get any ecstatic juice anymore. He says, because I've had such less time to work on the book. There was a funny verse that he said to me once when he was working on the book in peaceful times. It says, Agre, ahead of that, Dira Taro, there's an old tree, Dira Taro, Yam Arjuna Turus, it's an Arjun tree. Sagosham, that Arjun tree marks a path. Samapaiti Tatapati Sare, Kalendi Tanyatmaja, it marks a path that goes up to a village on the bank of the Jamuna. Tasyatira, on whose banks? Kadamba, Kananatalam, there is a grove of Kadamba trees. Chakre Gavam Charayan, and there is a circle of cows grazing there. Gopa Kridati, a coward boy plays there. Darshaishati Sake, oh friend, go see him. Pantanamavya Hatsav, he'll tell you the road. My God, but they're sending the slogans for those who need directions. You need directions? Ask Krishna. Hey, what am I going to do now? You know? And he's there as your friend. And what did it happen to him? So he wanted you to call out and ask him. He's smart. He's too clever. Therefore, in Vrindavan, he's known as Kanu. Khan means happy. He's always jolly. Huh? And oo is a suffix that his happiness is to make jokes with you and give you pain. That's what oo means. He causes pain. But we can't leave him. When you call out to Krishna as Kanu, it means you are very smart, very clever fellow. Now, I'm in a jam. I need a little advice from you. I need your help. I'm in a jam. How will I get out of it? Now you help me get out of it. And if you call out Krishna like that, if you call him enough, then he'll help you. That's the idea. If you have sattva mood, if you have the mood of goodness. Now naturally, if you don't, he'll do something very smart. Just like the daityas, when Lord Shiva gave the benediction to Vritrasura that whoever's head he can touch will break into pieces. And Vritrasura tried to use that against Lord Shiva so that he could enjoy the material energy. Then Lord Shiva was running away. And Vishnu took the form of a Shiva Bhakta, dressed like a Baba, like a Bhiksha, like a renunciate, with Rudrakshamala in his hands, and like that. And he addressed Vritrasura as the son of your father. He thought, well, he must know my parents. So they stopped in his tracks and talked to him. And looked, what are you doing? Oh, I'm chasing him. He gave me a benediction. I can anybody's head I touch will break into pieces, and I'm trying to touch him to see if it works. You believe that guy? You believe that guy? He smears himself with crematorium ashes. His associates are all hobgoblins and fools. You believe it? Why don't you test it on yourself? And if it works, and if it doesn't work, you can kill that liar. He got bewildered. Touched his head. Then Narayan told Shiva, be careful who you bless in the future. Be careful who you bless in the future. No, Krishna is very chatur, very, very smart guy. Our idea is to approach him anyway. And devotees, going here, going there, we approach him. Brihad Bhagavatam tells a funny story that when Gopal Kumar was trying desperately to get to Goloka. Along the way, he stopped in Vaikuntha. And he saw darshan of Narayana there, surrounded by all his parshada offering, with Gaurava Dasya, with veneration and service attitude. They were offering beautiful prayers. And he saw the bewitching, beautiful smile of Narayana's face. And seeing that beautiful smile, he became captivated, and he called out, "Gopal, Gopal, it's me." And then that's very different from what everybody else was doing. They thought, "Who is this guy?" You know? And they looked at him, "Who's that?" And Lakshmi was shocked. "Who is this fellow?" You know? And Narayana was smiling and laughing. He knew exactly what's going on, you know, he just laughed. And the chokidars, the dwarapalikas, they grabbed it. And, what's the matter? What do I do? You know, they just grabbed it. You know? And Narada Muni came up to them and said, "Hey, I know this guy. Tell him not to cause any disturbance." You know? They let him go. And Lakshmi Devi said, "Who's that?" And Narayana was just smiling. And Narada Muni said, "You're in the wrong place." "Gee, I know it now, yeah. You got to go further." So, you know, Gopal, it's me. "What's that?" You know? It's very funny. So the point is that we have to call out to Krishna, or Krishna's representative, or you call out to Tulsi Rani. Now, why don't they reciprocate with us? Maybe we're not calling enough. Or like that. When you call out, why don't they reciprocate? Sometimes. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in Madhurika Dhammani chapter 2, sometimes the holy name has been offended in the past, is reluctant to show mercy. Therefore you have to call again and again. By calling again and again, finally they convince them that you're serious about it. Sometimes they'll be coy with you, and they'll test you, and they'll come in the heart. Suppose you want me to give this mercy. You're asking me to give this. Why should I give it to you? What are you going to do if I give it to you? How are you going to use what I give you? They ask you. You better be on your toes. That time you better be on your toes. Because you have to explain yourself. I'm calling out. What do you want? I'm calling out and I want this. Well, what do you want that for? Because I need it. You need it personally. How are you going to use it? For purification, or are you going to use it to become degraded, or how will you use it? How will you use it? And not only that, but devotees have to think sarvabhuta hiterata, the benefit of other living people. How are you going to benefit them with the same knowledge? What are you going to do with it? I'm going to apply it, and I will distribute it to others. Then they may give it. If they think you can do that, they may grant it. If they don't give it to you, it means I'm not begging enough, or I don't deserve it. One of the two. I'm not begging enough, or I'm not ready to deserve it. Like, it was a funny statement. Tamal Krishna Maharaj once, when in 1969, I think, he was the president, 68, 69, president in Los Angeles Temple. And they went out on Harinam Sankirtan. He sent Prabhupada the report. How many Bhaktivedanta magazines are distributed? What was the collection? This, that, the other thing. You know, how much is incoming? How much is outgoing? Temple expenses like that. Prabhupada wrote him, "Thank you very much for the accounts." He said, "Krishna can give you the whole world in 18 days, but what will you do with it?" If Krishna wants to give you the whole world in 18 days, he can do it. What are you going to do with it? So that's the thing, is that you have to be ready. If you know what you're going to do with it, then maybe you'll get the responsibility. If you don't know what you're going to do with it, then why should you get it? So it's two things. You're not begging enough, or you don't deserve it. I'm asking for this. Do I deserve it? Can I utilize it? And if I don't deserve it, then why not? Or if I don't deserve it, maybe am I asking for something that I don't need, and therefore they're not reciprocating because you don't need it. You're not asking the right thing. You're not pushing the right buttons. You're not asking the right thing. You're not begging for the right thing. It has to be favorable for Krishna. It has to be favorable for preaching. It has to be favorable for your personal purification. What are you going to do with it? You better have an answer if you really expected to get it. Now, another thing is that they may test you. They may give it to you, but they may give it to you incrementally. Just to test you to see if you're not going to let it go to your head. Or like, we'll just give it to you just a drop to see what you're going to do with it. And if you forget them, then why should they give you more? They'll shut it down because you didn't pass the test. You have to pass the test. It's really interesting. They may give it incrementally to see what you'll do. Prabhupada used to say that God has many hands. Prabhupada's father used to say that God has many hands. If he wants to give you with many hands, with your two hands, how much can you hold? And if he wants to steal from you with many hands, with your two hands, how much can you keep away from him? So it's like that. So it's dhati. Bhakti Das Babaji, when somebody asked how you could pray, he said dhati. One word. Just call out. But who calls out in Kali Yuga? Right. Therefore, it's very rare to get liberated in Kali Yuga. We have to learn to call out. Therefore, Narottam Thakur Mahasaya says, Grihe bhavane te thake, ha gurango bole dake, Narottam Magyacharasam. Doesn't matter, you're a householder, you're a forest dweller. You can call out plaintively to Lord Chaitanya. That's what I want. That's the association I want. That's the devotee I want. I hanker for your association. So that's the kind of devotee we're supposed to be. Date. But the date also has to be practical. The date has to be, the calling out has to be according to what you require. And you have to be prepared. What are you going to do with it if they give it to you? You have to be able to prepare to tell them. If they don't give it, then that's all right. They can be a lumpet, or they can refuse to reciprocate. I'm still going to serve them. If they're silent. It's described in 10th Canto, chapter 32, verse 20. Sometimes Krishna likes to be silent about it. Why? Because you pray to him, Gopi Pranadana says, to please drag me to your lotus feet. He's just doing it. He's doing it his way. He's not doing it your way. He's going to drag you to his lotus feet whichever way he wants. You can't criticize him if he ignores you. He just simply wants to play hard to get so that you work harder. You work harder, you think of him harder, you work harder for him. You chastise yourself more, you purify yourself more. You can't blame Krishna, he's just simply doing what you asked him to do. You know? So his indifference is not bad in that case. His indifference is not bad in that case. The gopis, they didn't like it. He said, oh, stubborn one, please reciprocate our love. So for them, Krishna is a liar, Krishna is a cheater, Krishna is a stubborn fellow. But he's too sweet, they can't give him up. Why do they keep coming back to this liar, cheater, and stubborn fellow? If he's so bad, you know? They can't give him up. Huh? It just means that Krishna is stalling. When they call him a liar, a cheater, and, rape, like that, or something like this. A stubborn guy. It simply means that he's refusing to surrender to what the gopis want right now. That's all. And whatever he says is certainly true. He's certainly a smart fellow. And he's certainly saying it's certainly true. And he's certainly proper. Nothing he says is improper. Everything is proper. It's a question of time, place, and circumstance. So it's interesting here that Vishnu Nalayatarbhaka, this child has become the handle of the facts, the Lord Vishnu. It is subtle glorification. Yes. In the Sanskrit. Subtle glorification. A thorn tree axe is needed to cut down a grove of sandalwood trees. They're predicting that Prahlad Maharaj will definitely do it. It is subtle. And he has become an agent of Lord Vishnu. So it's interesting. The Brahminical side of Sandana Market came out here in subtle glorification of a person who is an agent of Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu's come in this boy as an agent, used him as an agent for change. We're going to cut down the sandalwood forest of the trees of the demons. Now, there's high-class sandalwood and there's low-class sandalwood. It depends on the cultivation of the tree. The inner bark of the sandalwood tree is very, very fragrant. The outer layers of the wood are generally not such, or smaller branches is not such. Therefore, previously it was classified, and you had to smuggle out sandalwood. I have a devotee friend in Bombay that is from South India, and he told me that in his village they had plenty of sandalwood trees, and sometimes he would come up to me in Bombay and go, "Here, no, I bought this from my village, you know, don't tell anybody." You know? And because he had to smuggle it. Now they've deregulated. To stop the smugglers, they deregulated it. Anybody and everybody can grow that tree now. In your lawn, in your garden, and anybody can do it. Good luck. You better have a nice fence around it. Somebody will probably steal it in the middle of the night or something like that. If you want that tree to live, you better have a nice fence around it and a good chokidar. Something like that to make sure that tree grows. But anybody can grow the tree. You got a protected garden, yeah, not a problem. Grow the tree, not a problem. It's fragrant, it's nice, but there are different qualities. It depends on naturally how good the dirt is, what the tree is getting, what is the species of the tree. There are different flavors. So chandana, this daitya chandana varni, the forest, it also means that daitya chandana varni, that some of these students, is also glorification of the students of Prahlad Maharaj. These boys were the cream of the demoniac family, but they had many, many good qualities. They had many fragrant qualities. Chanakya Niti, in Niti Shastra it says that if the child behaves properly, then they're a fragrant flower in the forest of their dynasty. And if they're not, then they're not the child who delivers you to the urine of the father. They're not putra, they're mutra. It says like that. Very interesting shloka. So, these children, Daitena Chandana Varni, they must have been very, very good kids. They must have been very sharp. They must have been clever. They must have been qualified children of demoniac families. This was their fruit. The demoniac families was that generation of children. Daitena Chandana Varni. And this is the one who is going to cut that forest down. He's going to cut down their demoniac propensities. That's what Prahlad Maharaj was trying to do. By inviting them all to worship Nrsingadev, to worship Vishnu, he was asking them to give up your divine demoniac propensities. So that is the idea. It wasn't actually cutting down their life. It was cutting down their demoniac propensities. It was favorable. There are many ways of seeing it. You can look at the shloka in different paradigms. Externally, it may be a critical point that they're making. But when you go deeper into the matter, it is hidden praise. It is an agent of Lord Vishnu that is seeing an opportunity amongst fragrant children, innocent children, the flower of the daityas, of the demons. And he's agent of Lord Vishnu that's going to chop down the demoniac tendencies of those children. And Sandana Markham saw it. It was interesting. We'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Jai Radha Giridhari. Every time I see their lordship here, Giridhari is very gambira. He's very, very grave. He's very, very grave. You look at him. Sriji Radhika is also very stoic. A little grave also. He's very grave, you know. It makes you think that you got to work a little bit harder just to get them to smile a little bit more at you, you know. You have to work a little bit harder. Basically, they're quite grave here. It's nice to have their darshan after a long time. Questions now? Sadhu, sadhu? Yeah. Sandana Marka were the sons of Shukracharya, yeah. Shukra. Acharya, the teacher, one who was expert in discharging saman, expert in family affairs, right? Who gave them names? Sons of America? The names. In Indian culture, the names are always given according to the nakshatra of the birth. That is how it was. The person, it is according to the star that the person has taken his birth on. Combined, then that gives a syllable. That provides syllables, and there's sometimes there's two, three syllables that are prominent in that star. Then you have to go against the lakshana, the characteristics of the individual. Then you choose, according to the gender of the individual, male or female, you'll choose a name of the Supreme Lord or his consort in such a way that matches both as close as you can get to the nakshatra, the syllables given by the nakshatra, and the quality of the human being involved. The idea that the name should inspire them throughout their life to live up to their potential. So because Shukracharya must have been, he was a Brahmin, he was going to be a teacher, but he had those qualities. So it must have been given, the name must have been given by his parents according to his destiny, so that it would inspire the child to live up to that potential. We're not asking you to live up more than your potential. Just like the Prabhupada's generation, the names were given in that realm. And as a result, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur just used to put Das or Dasi on the end of it. He wouldn't change their name. Many people, they didn't get their names changed at initiation. They just accepted and put Das or Dasi on it. What the parents did was good. As the English phrase goes, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So, in the same vein, it goes for any children, Sandhya and America, like that. They must have had names according to the nakshatra they took their birth in, syllables were given, and according to the qualities. Tell you a funny story. There was a Punjabi girl from Pune. She was in London doing something, I don't know. And, you know, and Punjabi girls are very, very intense. They get to work, they work hard, they push their husband, and they get what they want. Basically, they're intense people, and ambitious as hell, and they get what they want, and they're going to help you get it, and they're going to want you to get it for them. And they push, and they're intense people by nature. So there was this girl, and she's got many sweet qualities, but she's also very intense, and she would, like, you know, cook a lot of people for breakfast. You know, just cook them real good. So Maharaj, when he initiated this girl, he gave her a name of Radhika, very tactfully done, called Man Biharini, one who takes pleasure in jealous anger. So it's a name of Radharani, but it's also a subtle dig at the girl. Cool off. It reminds this girl that, I gotta mellow out. You know, it's like very interesting. When I heard it, I started to laugh. And Almighty is being so tactful and so delicate and so interesting. To tell somebody that, chill out a little bit, you know. Try to understand we have to be a little humble, we gotta be a little meek, we gotta be a little cool, you know. Chill out. Don't. As my godbrother urges, what? Prabhu, you got to get a hold of your mind. You can't let your mind take off like a chickpea hit with a ball bat. Just get a hold of your mind. Just calm down. Very funny. So, Man Biharini, one who takes sports and jealous anger. Well, it tells you, don't be jealous or don't be angry. Just chill out a little bit, you know, be a little sweet, you know. Very hilarious. When I went back to London, I go, where'd she go? You know? Oh, she went back to her village, you know. But she went back to Pune or something like that, you know. She finished her work in London, she went back or whatever. Very funny. I haven't forgotten that devotee, you know. Very interesting. The name should be given according to the nakshatra that they take birth. You change the syllables, and it's very important to get that quality of the human being right. We have to be sensitive. We're dealing with human beings. We have to be very sensitive with their name. The name has to match them. Please live up to your potential. We're not asking more than that. Please live up to your potential. It should act like an elephant goat. It kicks you to live up to your potential. That's the name should be. If the parents didn't do it, the spiritual masters should do it. Or suppose, you know, like the friends, to say well-wishers, teachers. Like, you know, some kids, they get nicknames, you know, Goofy, Daffy, you know, whatever it is. You know, whatever it is. You know, Padu, you know, something, you know, whatever it is. You know, like this. The names, even if you give a nickname to some kid in school, for example, okay, the nickname should match the lexemas of the person. You know, like this. But like, for example, sometimes they got either weird birth names or the spiritual master had given them weird names, one devotee. So in Vrindavan, we like things in relation to Krishna. We like things in relation to Radharani. The name should be like pleasing to hear for the ears. So when one devotee told another spiritual master, god brother of mine, what their name was, he went, ah! He went, call yourself something else in relation to Krishna or Radharani until your spiritual master, until your spiritual master gives you, changes your name or whatever it is. Like that. Just call yourself some name of Krishna like that or Radharani and leave it at that. Let that nickname be. You know? The nickname should also, the same story, the nickname should help one become better. That's the idea. So that's the idea about that. About names. Right? I did the best I could. Yes, Ganesh. I don't know the dhatvartha, the root of that, of what is Vishnu. You can look it up. You know it? The name, one of the dhatvarthas of Vishnu is all-pervading? Could be. Look it up. If you can't find it, if you can't Google for it, you can't find it, then you've got to ask some Sanskrit pundits. You ask some Sanskrit pundits around to look at it. What would be the dhatvartha? I got a buddy of mine, Basu Ghosh, I can throw the football at him, you know, and ask him. Okay. Or Matsya Avatar, but Matsya might be slower. Matsya Avatar is another Sanskrit pundit in Govardhan. He's in Vrindavan now. He might be a little slower to answer us. But it could be. I got a few of them. And I never got the answer. It's like, if it's putrayate iti putra, would it be mutrayate iti mutra? I could never figure it out. One Sanskrit pundit told me the whole thing what putra means. It was a whole long line that was defining the word putra. That's what Sanskrit dictionaries are good for. Unfortunately, I don't have it. Sometimes there's a Windows-based Monier Williams dictionary. But if you don't like, you know, if you got a Mac and you don't like Windows programs or something, it's tough, you know. It's tough, you know. You're stuck. You're stuck with this. Once in a while you have to poke in there and check things out. But we can try to help you find the answer to that question in other ways. Anything else? Yes, Prabhu? It is on. It is on. Could what? Huh? The end of the class. At the end of the class, you're asking me to move the microphone. Move the microphone. It's called a day late and a dollar short. It's too late, you know. Sorry, Prabhu. Prabhu, sorry. You're a day late and a dollar short. You know, as they say in American English, you know. It's too late. Sorry, you know. The end of the class, you know. Blame the mic. Blame the mic. Yeah. They followed the Vedas, and they had opulent life. The demons, demonic families, they followed the Vedas, they had opulent lives, and? There's so many aspects of the Vedas. Why didn't they develop devotional service or something? The Vedas that are dealing with transcendental knowledge, like Srimad Bhagavatam, the essence, they're very rare. The vast majority of the Vedas are dealing with karmakanda, dealing with material enjoyment, sense gratification, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, those things. Of which Sandanamarka were expert in teaching those four aspects of diplomacy and stuff. The vast majority of the Vedas are catering to people of that mentality who want those things. So they were following those things. And those, they kept association with Brahmins that were expert in those things. They were not interested in transcendence. And therefore, they just simply dismissed it. It's not as important for them. If somebody, a man convinced against his will, retains the same opinion still. The point is that they heard their associates and everyone were absorbed in karma kandik and they were absorbed in material enjoyment, and they just accepted that. They're Vedavada Ratis. They simply took the Vedas and they twisted it for their own sense gratification to say what they wanted to hear. They accepted the commentaries, the interpretation that gave them exactly the fuel for their fire, exactly what they wanted to hear. That's the idea. Prahlad Maharaj was always absorbed in the Srinivas. Prahlada means he was always happy in his service. No matter what miseries his father heaped on him, he was always happy anyway. That's what's called Prahlada. His happiness was Brahma, spiritual happiness. So he was always content. That's what the name Prahlada means. Like this. So he was aloof from all that. He was different. He was a different fellow than them. That gives you an idea. Okay, anything else? Hare Krishna. Jai Radha Giridhari, Jai Gaunitai, Jagannath Bhavadim Subhadramaya, Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. The next slogan describes, in the purport, describes the definition of Prahlada, what it was, but it means quite interesting. Very well. Fellow's complaining about the microphone too late. Complaining about the microphone.